Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Mr. Todd, the Corpse Workoven. Hello, Todd, the Corpse Workoven.
Hello, how are you?
I am splendiferous today. Todd, the Corpse Workoven in for Don Taylor. Todd is even now, as I speak these words to you, not nervous at all about stepping into the able pumps of Don Taylor. He is, in fact, prepared to embrace today and to shake it into virtual news bits as he conveys information to you about the following stories, including but not limited to...
The following.
That was totally me. Well done.
The streets of Oslo, Norway, run with blood after a youth shooting. The Pentagon announces the...
Your headphones just fell off your head, by the way.
A repeal of the gay marriage ban, and a mom screams why after a hammer attack.
Excellent. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more awesome than you were prior to the beginning of this hour. This, my friends, in mere moments, we'll transmogrify from this opening segment into Legion of News. Why, it's happening right now. Hello, Todd.
Hello.
You know, just now as you were speaking, you turned to address me and your headphones just fell off of your head onto the...
Off my head. I have a comically small head, so it's hard to keep things on it.
Have you always had a comically small head?
I have always had a comically small head. In high school when I played football, there's a pad that goes in between your cheekbones and the side of the helmet that they had to get two of them and duct tape them together and shove it in each side so that my helmet would not fall off.
This is fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, less so for you. But was it... And then we'll actually get to the actual news portion of this program here in just a second. But was it... Is it just that as you aged... In other words, was your head always the same size but your body became larger, or did your head just... And your body always not quite agree on size.
I think my head was always small. My ears were always big. So I think my ears have always been large. So my ears haven't changed. My head has always been small. So I think I still do have big ears, but a small head.
Okay. I don't really know what the answer was. There's somewhere. I'm just thinking. I'm wondering if, like, in your parents' kitchen, there's a series of marks on the wall, but there's, like, one to chart how tall you are, and there's another to chart. But his head doesn't seem to be getting any bigger.
And it's next to the oranges.
Why is our son so comically misproportioned?
I do have a freakishly long torso, too.
It's true. I can see it right here.
Yes.
As we progress through the hour, we'll have a little bit of Science in the March. Also, your entertainment news. And coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Here is Todd, the Corpse Workoven, filling in for Don Taylor today.
At least 7 people are dead after a huge explosion in the capital of Oslo, Norway. Several people were shot in a shooting at a youth camp outside its city. It's not clear if the two incidents are related. John Larson with the Norwegian Red Cross says the energies... the injuries are mostly one of two kinds.
Injuries from pieces of glass and head injuries.
Apparently the injuries were being taken into the Matrix when your voice gets digitized.
This is in Oslo, Norway, which is the capital?
Yes.
Okay.
It is the capital of Norway.
All right.
I know that because it says it right here in this paper in front of me.
Excellent. Fantastic.
Larson with the Norwegian Red Cross says the country is reeling from the attack.
For everyone in Oslo and everyone in Norway, it's the first time we are experiencing anything like this in our nation.
Well, la-di-da. It must be nice to be a nation where nothing ever bad. Nothing bad ever happens unless Eric the Red is storming your borders.
That's interesting. They seem so pacifist, but they have had that little red mark, so to speak, on their past with Vikings and all.
What with the killing and the pillaging and the we come from the land of the ice and snow where the midnight sun and the hot springs flow. or so I'm told, anyway. You are listening to Legion of News. I got a little thing going on in my throat here. Wait, hold on. Wait. Hold on. No, that doesn't seem to have. I can already tell it's just going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those days when things are striking me as disproportionately funny, and I don't know why. You are listening to Legion of News coming up later in this hour. Entertainment News, Science on the March. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device if you like. That is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. Once again, and for Don Taylor, here is Mr. Todd Workoven.
Here, is it hot where you are? Is there weather happening where you are? The heat wave roasting most of the United States means electricity demand is at peak levels. PJM interconnection services, much of the Mid-Atlantic area. Senior Vice President Michael Kormos thinks the grid will hold up in what is expected to be a steamy weekend.
At this point, we believe that there is adequate capacity to serve all the customer needs on the grid at this point.
I heard this interview with a guy from Con Ed in New York yesterday, and it was just one of those things where he just rued the day that he took the job, that he lived there. He wished that he had never left wherever it was he was employed. It doesn't matter what the benefit package was, because they were talking about, here's something that I never really thought about. It's that as people use more and more electricity, and it happens during the summer, even more so than during like extreme cold snaps, as they use more and more electricity, not only are they drawing more power, but actually all of the cabling and all of the electrical infrastructure heats up itself and expands because more electricity is going through it. And so it literally just swells and swells and swells, and it just at some point just threatens to explode out of its moorings underneath the city.
Yeah, and that whole, I understand when you put a dam down, the water fills up behind it. I don't understand what happens when you dam electricity.
No, see, this is one of those things where I was just imagining it piling up
right.
Inside
like it's all
the wall.
In Wyoming.
Right.
Like, don't go there.
No. That's where they keep the electricity. You want to stay far away, and
it
you just
it roams free.
And you just see it from the airplane, just just glowing on the ground underneath you as you
well,
pass
I grew
over.
I grew up in Southern California where they had those high tension lines, and when you walked under them, you heard them, and your whole body just shook because they were just.
That is true. Well, and in fact, those high tension lines are what they use to create the lightsaber sound effect in Star
yes,
Wars
that is
because
true.
They make that weird. Yeah, I mean, as you.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, what was the sound? Now, see, we're talking about two different things. You're talking about the high tension lines, which are the actual non-conductive cables. Those were used to make, I believe, the sound of the blasters.
Yes.
The what we're both thinking of, though, is when you walk underneath the actual power lines and there's the...
Right.
And that's when you realize, I mean, exactly how much energy is going through those and the idea that it does have to be sort of kept somewhere when it's not powering your hairdryer.
Right, right.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Once again, in for Don Taylor, Mr. Todd Workoven.
Do we want to play more of these heat cuts?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. How many? Do we have three?
Three.
So
we'll be in heat two. Kormos believes there is enough capacity to serve all customers on the grid at this point.
This is the kind of week that we literally plan years for in advance to make sure the infrastructure is in place. We train all year long to be prepared, and right now everything is running well and the grid is holding up.
Somebody, by the way, has noted that the story of shrunken head Todd is worthless without pictures. when Todd's not looking later on, I'll try to get some specs on the size of his melon.
There are pictures of me wearing a child-sized hat.
Presumably not as a child.
Not as a child.
Excellent. Let's do the third heat.
The U.S. heat wave is having an unexpected effect for some business. Sal Baracco, who not only has an unintentionally hilariously racist name, sells ice cream for a living, and business is hot.
4th of July is usually the peak of our season, and...
he doesn't. This is disappointing. He doesn't sound like a Sal Baracco. He just sounds like some guy named Chet.
4th of July is usually the peak of our season, and fortunately or unfortunately, the weather's been pretty hot since then, so it's required a lot more to keep ahead of the game.
I figured he would be like one of those angry like, and you just don't tip the delivery guy.
He's the guy who drove 4 hours in the middle, like through Arizona and Utah, through just desert, and there's the one gas station in that whole 400-mile spread that he's pulled over. Everyone's pulled over. Everyone's sweaty. His shirt's ruffled, and he's just sweating and beard coming in, and he's just telling everyone what it is.
He's laying it down. He's just telling it, giving people the truth.
He's getting
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up later this hour, your Science of the March, also your entertainment news, and next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Today, we'll be welcoming Mr. Big Jim Willig to the studio as well. He'll be here for another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101 today, talking about the work and legacy of Monty Python. That is coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com at... RickEmersonShow.com. Here is Mr. Todd Workoven in for Don Taylor.
The clock is ticking as NFL players and owners continue their negotiations to end the league's ongoing lockout. Sports Illustrated senior investigative journalist John Wertheim says it is likely just a matter of time just before the two sides come to a compromise.
This is mostly about revenue. And remember, too, there are different layers of this. You know, there's the executive committee, then there's the general membership. I think that the players are going to read this. They're going to say, look, we need to get back to work here.
Wertheim says now the players are just being cautious before committing themselves to a new agreement.
This is a 10-year deal with no opt-outs. I mean, the last contract had this opt-out. Owners exercised it. 10 years, you better really like what you're getting. So I think I talked to a player on the Ravens yesterday who said, look, it's like getting a new car. We seem to agree on the price, but we want to take a look at it. We want to have it inspected.
I forget who it was that was I was making this observation, but they were talking about the NFL and the lockout because I understand there's one of those happening with another major league sport as well.
Yes.
But he was talking about the idea that it's the players negotiating with the, you know, with the teams, but what people don't really view it as is this sort of monopoly, that it's a cabal almost, right. And that all of the teams are presumably competing against one another, except they're really not, because the teams all have the same vested interest, right. And they're sort of allied against the players.
Right.
And so if you had any other industry, you know, where you had all of the owners of various corporations, if you had all of the people who made, photocopy machines, or you had everybody who made ice cream trucks, and they were all sort of banded together against all of the employees of every ice cream truck company in the country, even if they were separate corporations, I don't think that would be allowed. And yet it is allowed in the case of the NFL for some reason, which is why the players always seem to get the, the shafty end of things there.
I stopped listening about 40 seconds ago.
Okay. Excellent. So things are proceeding as normal here.
Exactly.
It's like Don never left.
I do feel extra efficient, though, because now I don't have to listen to today's show.
That's Is that really your motivation for doing this?
I've really freed up my weekend, let me tell you.
So this is actually just by dint of being here, you've given yourself another 3 hours of life.
Exactly.
Over the next few days.
Exactly.
I'm amazed you didn't think of this earlier, actually.
I'll just come in, listen to the show while I'm on it, and then get on the
Look, ride. Why don't I just do the show, hear the show, one fell swoop, done. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. We should say, by the way, that if you are not familiar with Mr. Todd Workoven, A pox on your house, and B, you're just... You're either not trying hard enough or you're trying really, really hard to avoid him because he's sort of everywhere, intersecting with all of the...
Just like Telly Savalas. I'm everywhere you want to be.
Exactly. Intersecting with all of the various projects and wastes of time with which I've occupied myself over the years. Remote control, bigger than Jesus.
888, the roast.
The Rick Emerson roast, the 888 speech, zombie economics.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
You're sort of just the you're like the
I'm when you get to the W's is what I am. Joni said the same thing when she called me up. I think it was for when you guys were doing Bigger Than Jesus, the stage show, and she's like, so, you know, we're looking for a couple people to be some stage hands, and I said, got to the W's, did ya?
Yeah, nobody else was
and
home.
She said, Yes.
Yes, I. So, well, can you be here in 12 minutes? That'd be great.
And then I sprayed on your hair.
Yeah. Good times. You're listening to Legion of News, the Rick Emerson Show. Next hour here is Mr. Todd Work over here for Don Taylor.
A Florida teenager.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's you're thinking of the other show.
Oh.
You were trying to throw me off there. I saw what you attempted to do there.
All right. A Florida teenager told a friend that he stood behind his mother for about 5 minutes in contemplation before plunging a hammer into her head, according to police documents released Wednesday.
I don't think you really plunge a hammer. You plunge a plunger. And perhaps a knife if you're really motivated.
That's true.
A hammer is just sort of a whack. It's not really a plunging. I mean, unless it's a pointy hammer or a real soft head.
A dull thud.
Yeah.
Police say Tyler Hadley, 17, described the attack to an unidentified friend at the party he threw in his Port St. Lancy home Saturday after the killing.
Wait, so he ascribed the... So he did.
He
so he said it
friend.
Wasn't me, it was some guy.
It was some guy.
Okay.
Yeah, area man.
All right. Yeah.
Got the whole scoop. But by the friend's account, when Hadley struck his mother with a hammer, she screamed one final question to her son. That question?
Where am I?
Why?
Oh, that's so much better than what I was going to do, because I was going to do a zanily improbable question.
Right.
Such as,
was the Franco-Prussian war justified?
What is the pompousness of love?
Wow. It's not any smarter on this side of the mic, is it?
No, it really isn't. It's something about this studio. It's not even that it saps your will to live, it just saps your ability to be smart. And by you, I mean everyone.
The boy took to his parents' cell phones. He took his parents' cell phones away ahead of the attack, so they couldn't call for help. When it was over, after the parents were dead, Hadley spent 3 hours cleaning up the blood before hosting dozens of friends. Hadley told friends he was surprised at how long the cleanup took.
It seems like he didn't really have faith in his own hammering abilities if he took their cell phones away in advance. I mean, if you're beating somebody with a hammer and then you're worried that they're going to make a rational, cogent call to the law enforcement authorities in your neighborhood.
It is tough to ready for a party. I mean, one has to get everything ready.
Well,
get
that's true.
Get the fruit punch.
No,
you
it's
know,
true.
Properly put away, clean up the blood.
And you know... And you know what? And you have to get rid of those distractions ahead of time. Otherwise, it's nothing but work, and
you're never able
to enjoy yourself.
I knew that guy. Not only do you not have enough, dill pickle spears, but you dead body at the party.
Seriously.
Nobody wants to be that guy.
Hey, do you have any of those little plastic swords that you use to put the cherries on, for the drink? And also, there's a corpse in front of me. There's somebody else makes an observation here, which is that it took him 5 minutes before he decided that, I really need to hammer that head.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if he held the hammer aloft the entire time. It said it took him, that he stood behind his mother for 5 minutes. Who stands anywhere for 5 minutes?
What was his mother doing that she didn't notice?
It doesn't say. Waiting to die.
Watching her stories, also preparing for imminent doom. You shouldn't laugh at that, Todd. It's wrong.
It is.
Don't
it
mock
really
the pain of others.
It really is.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program, during which we will have a Hick Watch, a Taser Watch, and Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. And today we'll be talking about the work and legacy of Monty Python. Here is something happening? What is happening on your laptop over there? It keeps blinking.
No, it just went to sleep, so I just turned it back on so I can see what time it is.
Really?
The screen is black.
It's a huge clock over on the wall.
Shut up.
It's just out of my peripheral vision, I just keep seeing what look like little lightning flashes, and it's your laptop repeatedly going to sleep and then being turned back on with a wave of your perfectly manicured hand. Okay. And it's so you can see what time it is.
I do keep myself kempt.
All right, just checking. Here's Todd Work opening for Don Taylor.
The Pentagon will announce Friday, that is today, that it is ready to certify the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the controversial 1993 law that banned gays from serving openly in the military.
I think you mean the gays.
The gays. By law, a 60-day waiting period then goes into effect before the repeal is officially implemented, likely by the end of September. The certification was expected after all military services were given a chance to train their forces to prepare them for the repeal.
Is this a dramatic pause?
Yes.
Okay.
Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen.
Do I have to back up and just get a running start
at
that again?
Chiefs of staff.
Well, it's one of those like attorneys general things where it seems like it's a singular plural,
right,
which then just causes your brain to have some sort of a cognitive dissonance.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff sends it to his desk. Then the president sends it to Congress. The White House was in the midst of...
This would be so much easier if you were to sing this and perhaps become a small animated bayonet. sitting on the steps of the courthouse.
I'm very aware of my civil S's for some reason.
I'm a gay soldier. I'm wanting to serve.
I'm just curious. After a month, let's see, the certification was expected after all the military services were given a chance to train their forces and prepare them for the repeal.
Well, you know, one has to be...
I mean, they all get 30 days, 60-day waiting period.
So you have to
prepare.
You have to boil the frog slowly, you know. You can't just be thrusting gays into their midst, you know, because otherwise it might just be chaos and anarchy. Things might fall apart.
The army cannot go in a surprising new direction.
No.
They have to be ready for the new direction.
And I do like the idea, by the way, that the military needs 60 days to prepare for something that might be difficult, you know, or taxing or stressful in some way.
Right.
You know. Not like war or anything.
You never prepare to be dropped on the front lines. But,
no.
Hey, there's a gay man. No. Duck.
Seriously. By the way, we're going to be spraying this whole place with white phosphorus in 5 seconds. But next month, there will be a gay man here. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, we have your Science in March. Later on, about 12:45, your entertainment news. Here is another story about which I know not what, brought to you by Mr. Todd Workoven.
Fake Chinese Apple store fooled staff.
This is a fantastic story.
China's passion for iPads and iPhones has triggered widespread cloning and even brawls. Now it has gone further with a fake Apple store so convincing even the staff thought they worked for Steve Jobs. The store in southwestern city of Kunming was uncovered by American blogger who was initially fooled before she noticed not everything was as it had seemed. At first glance, the signs, computer, and layout of the shop looked exactly like a genuine Apple store, says a blogger, who posts under the name of Bird Abroad. Photos posted by the blogger show the employees wearing Apple's trademark blue T-shirts with name badges hanging around their necks.
Have you seen the pictures of the Apple store? Of the so-called Apple store?
No, I didn't see a picture of it.
It's astounding. I mean,
I saw the glass outside with the Apple logo on there.
In fact, the only two things that really gave it away, apparently, were that it actually says the words Apple Store on the front, which Apple stores actually don't. They just have the logo. Like, if you go to any Apple store, that's their whole, you know, branding thing, is they have just the logo of the Apple with the bite, but they don't. It doesn't actually say it. Although even that wouldn't necessarily be enough to throw you off, because you got to figure that maybe, you know, it's another country, and so they do some sort of supplemental identification for people who maybe, you know, for just to make sure that everybody, whether or not they speak English or, you know, or Chinese, that actually get it. The other thing was apparently one of the staircases inside was kind of, It was ever so slightly rickety. Like things sort of looked okay, but if you leaned on them or tried to put too much weight on them, they kind of just sagged a little bit. So I guess the quality of the workmanship was not quite up to Apple standards.
Yeah, here we go. But a closer look reveals the winding stairs going up to the chill-out area. The chill-out area. That's not capitalized either, so I'm wondering if the article writer put in chill-out area.
Is there a chill-out area at regular Apple stores?
I don't think so.
Okay.
There's a genius bar. The chill-out area was poorly made. The walls had not been painted well, and the shop front sign says Apple Store, whereas the real deal just sports the now famous fruit logo.
You know, Thomas Gill notes that actually the thing about this fake Apple Store is they were selling real Apple products, as opposed to most regular stores in China which sell fake Apple products.
I do not know if the computers are real or fake. They seemed real, but it can be hard to tell, said Bird Abroad. Okay.
I believe that is the blogger
in
question.
Blogger. She added that a quick walk around the store revealed two other rip-off Apple stores, one of which spotted a sign that said Apple Store, S-T-O-E-R.
I wonder if occasionally there was like an Asian guy who would show up in like a black turtleneck and jeans and just go, "Today we revolutionize all world. Also, one more thing I have. I pull from pocket, small device, carry, hold, bite wax tadpole." And then he just would leave the store to the thunderous applause of the the assembled masses.
Super happy, fun garden treat.
Exactly.
Is their Apple store.
That's super happy, fun garden treat. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for coming by. Later on this hour, your entertainment news. Here is Mr. Todd. Let me ask you this. I've never actually clarified with you whether you wish to be identified by your full Todd the Corpse Workoven. Or just Todd Workoven, because I know that you have coworkers and colleagues and whatnot.
I live a very strange existence.
A dualistic life.
I do, and my Venn diagrams don't really overlap anywhere. So there's people I deal with on a daily basis and a yearly basis throughout my life that have no idea what Todd the Corpse is, why anyone would know me by that. But then people that only know me from this show as Todd the Corpse, they have no idea who Todd Workhoven is. So it, I figure it always keeps people reminding them who Todd the Corpse is, probably. Just to rein in on it.
You need to know who Todd the Corpse is.
You need to know who. Don't you know who I am?
So Todd the Corpse Workhoven is sort of like your John Cougar Mellencamp.
Exactly.
It's your attempt to merge. It's a transitional name that'll take you from one stage of your life to
the
next.
It's funny that you should say that, because when I was getting the news ready last night, I was like, you know what? I am Courtney Cox in that video. I'm being invited out of the crowd and onto the stage.
Yes. Yes, then we're going to go backstage and Keith Richards is going to tie you off.
Exactly.
Todd the Corpse Workhoven, by the way, so named because he first... because I think the first time... was it the first time we actually met?
It was the first time we actually met. I had emailed you a couple times before that, but then you had that contest, and that's when we actually met.
This was back in the early 2000s, like 2003, 2004, something like that.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, to have a... just think how much of your life you frittered away on my nonsense.
It's unbelievable. 10 years. Well, and...
being the Bruce Valanche of the Rick Emerson Show. But, you know, funny. Your headphones just fell off your tiny head.
They
tried
to run away from Bruce Valanche.
But we did a short film some years ago called Remote Control, in which there was a sequence where there was a dead body, and we were looking for someone to play the corpse, and you know, just sort of to lie there and have a huge fake gunshot wound put on your head. And there was a trivia contest held to determine the quote winner.
Yes.
And I think you and the other guy just tied at like 1-1.
Yeah, I got two. I got 3 out of 9. And I think you got 2 out of 9.
Fantastic.
It was bad.
Anyway, so forever after known as Todd the Corpse. Here is Mr. Todd the Corpse Workhoven in for Don Taylor.
Apple on Thursday announced that 1 million users purchase and download the latest version of its operating system through its Mac App Store on its launch day.
Yeah.
Users are buying Lion faster than any other U.S. OS release in Apple's history, Apple said in a press release. OS X Lion, which is the first operating system the company has offered through its recently launched Mac App Store, adds more than 250 new features, borrowing some of the more popular interface features from Apple's iOS mobile operating system, which powers a successful line of iPhones, iPads, and iPod Touches.
Which powers what?
Its successful line of the iPhones, iPads, and iPod Touches.
Sometimes when you pronounce things, I figure it's like a vacuum cleaner, where it's like... do you ever, you're vacuuming your living room, and the vacuum cleaner doesn't pick something up, and then you feel like you want to go back and give it another try.
Yeah.
You know, like you could just pick that string up and throw it away yourself, but then you feel like the vacuum cleaner might have poor self-esteem.
In that whole paragraph, there are like 4 consonants missing.
Yeah.
I don't know which ones they were.
And a lot of words, it seems solely composed of S's.
Right, and you just plow through. Company's coming over soon.
Yeah.
So it's like better to have something vacuumed up than have it all perfectly clean.
And you feel like you want to give the vacuum another shot at picking that up so it can feel good about itself. Did you download the Lion operating system?
I did not. I still have this computer. Is about 3 years old now, and I don't think I've ever upgraded the operating system. I need a new computer because I dumped this in water once. My bag had juice spilled in it, and I just stuck it right in there, and half the screen has all these marks on it. It's ridiculous.
I don't even want to see it. It pains me even to hear about
it.
By the way, apparently we've all been pronouncing that incorrectly. I've been saying OS X for like forever and ever, but apparently that is supposed to be OS 10.
OS 10.
So
sorry.
That is the thing that I have been mangling, you know, all these many years as well. Don't feel like it's just on you. Don't take it personally. I don't want you to dwell on that for the remainder of the day, whatever you do. Once again, Mr. Todd Workhoven.
Dateline Juba, South Sudan, the world's newest nation, the embattled area of the Nuba region.
The embattled region is that Krypton planet.
Well, that's where they filmed God Must Be Crazy. The embattled region.
Exactly.
The embattled region. No, criminy. The embattled area of the Nuba Mountains is squarely situated in North Sudan, but the recent separation from the south on July 9 as a new country poses new challenges for what the past 2 months has become the recent region's latest deadly front. As the festive mood surrounding the south's independence celebration... I thought I had the momentum to get through that.
No, this is really
it's
wonderful.
It's like that. It's that one meme picture where the guy in the dune buggy is in the air and all of his wheels are off, and he's just like helplessly staring at them, knowing he's going to have to land this thing.
Looking at the ground below with an awestruck, horrible. What you might want to do is just take a moment here.
Okay,
I'm going to play the science news. We'll leave the Sudan to the Sudan and to the Sudanese. We'll let them just sort of we'll let them deal with that. We'll take that under advisement later. Let's just all you know what I didn't load when I transitioned from my previous operating system to Mac OS X. What I did not put onto this soundboard is something that I have to add right now, which is the Mario hold music, which allows us to take a moment and just you know, and to find ourselves, to really reach a sort of, to reach a place of stasis, to reach a place of zen within our own beings. Let's see if I can find that here. Hold on a second. Wait.
I'm just glad it's not my fault.
Nope. Wait. And with the... With... And... Yeah.
It doesn't look any more interesting on this end either.
There we go. We'll just take a second. All right. Who's ready for some science?
I am.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. It is squireselectric.com, or you can call 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. You can also find them online, if you like, at facebook.com/squireselectric. That is facebook.com/squireselectric. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors, and they're wholly decent individuals, not unlike Todd Workoven himself. They will come to your home, they'll come to your business, they'll come to some confluence of the two, and they'll make sure that everything is working properly, and maybe, I don't know, maybe just give one of your enemies a good what for while they're there. Maybe just tell a guy what time it is while they happen to be in your domicile. You can contact them at 503-252-1609 if you need something upgraded, installed, repaired, or if you're just worried about passing an upcoming inspection, or maybe if you just distrust your own skill set and you're worried that you're going to blow off your feet the next time you try to change out a fuse, you contact Squires Electric and they will take care of that for you. It's 503. Although, here's the thing. If you do call them to, you know, just like to take care of a single fuse, they'll be polite. They won't mock you. I may, in fact, mock you. You may be the object of much scorn and derision from the Rick Emerson Show and the Legion of Newscast. I'm not saying that that's the case, but we reserve the right to place, you know, just a tiny bit of scorn and impudence on your shoulders. You can contact them at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squireselectric. They are the proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
We're all going to die.
Okay.
Attack of the urban mosquitoes. Is it SARS? Is it swine flu? Is it bird flu? No. It is the latest scourge crossing the country, and it has a taste for the big city. The Asian tiger mosquito, named for the distinctive black and white striped body, is a relatively new species to the U.S. that is more vicious, harder to kill, and unlike most native mosquitoes, bites during the daytime.
How can it be more vicious? I mean, it seems like that's a binary proposition. The mosquito either bites you or it leaves you alone.
It maybe has an extra set of fangs. Well, it's extra vicious.
Extra?
What do you... I don't know. They carry a spear.
Where would they be?
I don't know. On their leg.
On its ear?
Well, butterflies taste with their feet. Mosquitoes can have extra...
Well, okay. No, that's a fair point. All right.
They
ruin your credit.
They spread rumors about you. It also prefers larger cities over rural or marshy areas, thus earning the nickname among entomologists as the urban mosquito. Part of the reason it is called a tiger is also because it is very aggressive, says Dina Fonseca, an associate professor of entomology at Rutgers University. You can try to swat it all you want, but once it's on you, it doesn't let go. Even if it goes all the way, it will be back for a bite. The Asian tiger mosquito arrived this year in June, 3 months earlier than last year, said Wayne Andrews, superintendent of the Briscoe County Mosquito Control Post in Towton, Massachusetts. The species had been traced in 1985 when a ship arrived in Texas, loaded with used truck tires, perhaps from Japan.
Is that a little bit of editorial interjection there?
Maybe.
All right. Here's the thing about the mosquito. First of all, arriving on a shipment of used truck tires is odd.
Yeah.
Because that implies that that's either their natural habitat or it's what they feast on most of the time.
Right.
And if they can't find truck tires, they'll, like, go for, you know, like your cousin.
Right.
Or whatever. Also, what is the name of the organization where he works? The International Mosquito Consortium? Or
The Bristol County Mosquito Control Project in Taunton, Massachusetts.
That's like every now, like, you'll see somebody, like, I think it was in Washington State, if you go to a lot of the, some of the gas stations, you'll see that they're like, it was recently certified by like so-and-so from the Department of Weights and Measures. And you're thinking, like, what a sad existence that must be. Or maybe not. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a really fun place to be employed. I just, it seems like it's probably not a thrill a minute, though.
It seems very old-timey.
Yeah, it does. Well, and it just seems like, you know, like, that's the last job before you retire.
Right.
You know, like, that's where they've gradually taken you, removed you from a place where you can do any real damage with your authority or knowledge.
Right. According to research by the Centers for Disease Control, the eggs hatched when they were exposed to water.
And radiation.
Now more than half of the states have this aggressive species.
Okay.
The urban mosquitoes are what entomologists call container mosquitoes. Instead of marshes and natural bodies of water, both Asian tiger and rock pool mosquitoes can breed in a small, artificial container such as tires, toys, cans, and concrete structures.
Or your colon.
A rule of thumb for the container mosquito is... water plus 7 days equal mosquitoes, which doesn't rhyme. That's not helpful at all. Water plus 7 days equal a lot of things. That's not like only mosquitoes.
No, it really, and it doesn't, it's not a mnemonic device.
No.
It doesn't, it's
Dr.
not an
Fonseca. That is your real name.
It's not an acronym. Somebody weighs in and says, it's best just to lay there and find your happy place and let the mosquitoes do their business.
Well, apparently they're not going to let up and it will come back.
No. Hey, speaking of water plus 7 days equals mosquitoes. You know, water plus 7 days in my house also equals just, I guess they're fruit flies or just, you know, like little natty things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And so here's my question. Yes, thank you. Marshes. Thank you. But my thing is this, and this is like in my home. This isn't out front, like in the garden, or like we have a composting, whatever receptacle right. in the front garden. This isn't that. This is like in the house, like in the sink where there is the much feared and maligned standing water.
Yeah.
But so my deal is this: the fruit flies don't just come out of nowhere. I mean. Like, don't there have to be, like, eggs or, like, a mommy and daddy fruit fly that are on their way through town? And they go, here's some standing water. Let's stop it. And then it's like, and then the next thing you know, then it's just a cloud of flies in my kitchen.
Right.
So where do the flies originally come from is my question.
I would guess they come in on a piece of fruit. Maybe there's eggs in the fruit.
Why do you got to say that? Why does it got to be that they're coming to my house on food?
Well, they're not being delivered by the UPS man.
Well, that's a fair point. Although... It seems unlikely they would just be on the fruit because that implies, I mean, here's why that doesn't wash with me. I'm just saying because if the fruit comes from like, that's one thing if it's from the farmer's market, which is like sitting outside or whatever.
Right.
But if it's coming from the store, like Trader Joe's or Safeway or whatever, it's not like you would notice a lot of fruit flies sort of hovering around the fruit section at your Safeway. That's the thing you'd probably, like, you'd call the customer service line.
It's always pretty cold in the produce section, and those kind of flies don't like it cold because it makes them sleepy.
Yeah, I just, they also only live for like 24 hours.
Right.
So it seems like it's not probable that, it's unlikely that they were just sitting there in the produce department of the store the entire time as well.
My guess would be that they're kind of like ladybugs, how you can buy a package of ladybugs and keep them in your fridge.
Right.
Until you're ready to put them in the garden and they'll wake up.
So you're thinking that they were on the fruit and then they, by dint of being put in the cold section of the produce department,
that they were
put into some sort
and
of a hibernative state?
Once they reach room temperature, they kind of wake up and do their fly thing.
I see. So they're like they're like the Simon Phoenix. Of insects.
Yes.
I understand. Okay.
That's what I was going for.
Okay. As long as I can somehow work it into a Demolition Man reference,
yes.
Like once per week, that's all I really care about with knowledge. All right.
A freaky mouse is immune to poison. Mice from different countries have likely interbred, producing what researchers call a freaky or superior house mouse that is resistant to a common rodent poison. The discovery, reported in the Journal of Current Biology, demonstrates how hybridization can occur naturally among animals, yielding non-sterile individuals with beneficial attributes. In this case, the result is a mouse that is resistant to warfarin.
Which
apparently is a MMORPG.
Resistant to what?
Warfarin. Warfarin, a toxic.
Okay, all right.
And usually deadly ingredient that is in many rodent poison. So it's resistant to poison, to rat poison.
Thought it was some kind of a Klingon fetish.
This was
my chick's really into warfing. It's like I gotta go home and I gotta put on this whole outfit and I gotta wear these jack boots.
Yiff.
Don't do
what?
That. Don't. Please don't do that.
This story isn't all that interesting. I just like that It's at Freaky Mouse.
All right. So let's be done with that story.
We're done with that.
It's the Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. It's the Science on the March portion of our program coming up later on this hour. Got your entertainment news. And next hour, the Rick Everson radio program at RickEversonShow.com. Today we'll be joined also by Mr. Big Jim Willig, who's going to be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101 today, talking about the work and legacy of Monty Python. That was Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Somebody opines, maybe the fruit flies live in your colon, Rick, and they sneak out at night. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That's the kind of visual that really makes this pro. It's what gets me out of bed in the morning, is the idea that I can come here and I can hear about insects hiding inside my anus.
Well, and those...
Yes?
Those little moths that live, the Indian meal moths that live in the flour and all the grains in your kitchen.
Are they the? Those little powdery moths.
Yeah, that you can.
You can never get rid of those things.
Never get rid of.
No. It's like no matter what you spray, they're like.
I've thrown out so much food for the stinking things, and they did grubby crawl up the walls, and they keep going and going.
And they're just
awful.
There forever. And it's like I will go in from the air and just.
Right.
Lay down just a suppressing stream of Raid and Black Flag spray everywhere.
Those are coming from Costco.
They're like the Vietnamese. It doesn't, I mean, they just can't, you know, spray and spray and spray, but they're still there.
Team out.
You know, it really is just unbelievable. And as you just noted, it's like, and the thing is, like, when you hit them and they leave that weird powdery smudge
on the wall.
And it's sort of, which is, you know, and you wonder if that's just like as a mark for their comrades.
Well, and you feel like just unclean.
Yeah.
Like you somehow have to rub it in between your eyebrows.
Oh, man. Can I just tell you that I accidentally got one of those in my mouth at one point? Because they were, well, and it wasn't really, I mean, what, you know, it was, I wasn't angling to do so, but Laura and I were cleaning out the cupboard because we couldn't get rid of the damn things. I mean, they were just everywhere. And we thought, you know what? We're kind of slobs sometimes, and so this is by which I mean that we just have a lot of like half-used containers of like, you know, like we'll get like a, you know, like a thing of spaghetti or whatever, and we use like half, and then you just sort of twist the end on it and stick the rest of the dry spaghetti in the cupboard or something.
Sure.
And, you know, that's not really, like, sealing it as such, and that's exactly the kind of stuff those things go for,
right.
Because it's, like, a grain or it's, you know, it's starchy. And so we just had a lot of those, like, half, you know, what's this? Well, it's, like, an ounce and a half of kidney beans that are just sitting in this jar for no reason.
Right.
And well, you know what? We'll just get rid of all of them. We're going to go through it, and we're just one fell swoop. And we took, like, 6 hours, and we pulled everything out of the cupboard, threw out, I don't know, probably half the old food that was just sort of, you know, the stuff that we weren't going to use or stuff that was just past its date or whatever. Cleaned out the entire thing, bleached the entire cupboard. First of all, that didn't work because the things just came back. Secondly, though, as I was opening, I forget what it was. It was a thing that claimed to be sort of, you know, airtight. It was one of those. It wasn't like a lock and lock thing, but it was
hermetically sealed.
But it was like a Tupperware style thing, and it had dry oats in it. And so I'm like, well, there's a dry oats. There's probably nothing to fear with. And I pulled the lid off, and then it was like bats out of a cave in that Lou Diamond Phillips movie, or underneath that bridge in Austin. It was just. And they just came out of nowhere. And I did this sort of, you know, ah! But what happens when you go, ah! Is that your mouth is open.
Ah.
And then they immediately went, hey, another jar of oats. Except it wasn't a jar of oats so much as it was my mouth.
That's awful.
And, you know, and then you're just, poof, poof, for the rest, there's nothing you can do. Because once that moth lands in your mouth, it's like that powder crap is all over the inside. It was just terrible.
Right.
And it was there the rest of the day. It was one of those things. It's like sometimes you'll hear victims of PTSD say, it was 35 years ago, and I can still hear the scream. I mean, it was like 3 days later, and I could taste that moth in my mouth. It was just, it was a terrible time.
Thank you for sharing.
Great story. Great story, Gordy. All right. Here's Mr. Todd the Corpse Workoven in for Don Taylor. We'll do entertainment news here in about 3 minutes. Here first, though, this story.
From Springfield, Georgia, South Georgia authorities say two men became so high on drugs that they began hallucinating and called 911 when they thought intruders had broken into their home. Effingham County Sheriff spokesman David Ahsenipour said that the pair of suspected...
May not be the actual pronunciation.
The pair is suspected of using methamphetamine around the time that they called 911 for help early Tuesday. Deputies responding around 4 a.m. to the house outside Savannah were told by the pair that people in the back bedroom had broken into the home, but no intruders were found. Ahsenipour said deputies realized they were hallucinating. He said that they were so high they called 911 on themselves.
Fantastic.
The Savannah Morning News reports the suspects, both from Bloomingdale, faced several charges, including manufacturing and possessing methamphetamine. It wasn't known Tuesday whether they have
attorneys.
Have you? That's got to be one of those times when being like the public defender is just the worst job in the world. I mean, every day it's just like a roulette wheel of scum.
Right.
You know, how often do you really get the guy who's, you know, he's a decent human being who's just been wrongly accused, right, or that, you know, is sort of a twist of quirk of fate, you know, and he's is attempting to railroad him into being right. convicted of some.
He was missing an arm.
Or that, sure. But it's not that. It's like you go in and there's a guy just like eating his own scabs, you know, in the waiting room. Going, are you my mouthpiece? That's great. I didn't do nothing. And his pants are filled with waste and he's just staring at you vacuously. Did you hear Greg talking about the meth guy who lives across the street from him?
No.
A meth guy who is just taken to stacking all of his garbage in Greg's front yard. It really is quite something. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Are we prepared for entertainment news?
Sure.
All right, let's just take a moment. Let's steal ourselves. And let's do it. Here's your entertainment news for Friday right here at Legion of News.
Lindsay Lohan needs to service her community faster. Los Angeles, a judge warned Lindsay Lohan Thursday that she needed to spend more time doing community service and enroll in psychological counseling or risk running into problems with her probation.
Yeah, she might run into legal difficulties.
She might be slipping down that ladder of fame.
Run afoul of the legal system if she's not very, very careful.
Superior Court Judge Stephanie Sautner reminded the actress during a status hearing that she had to complete 480 hours of community service by next April. She's not going to get 5 minutes more than 1 year to complete the services at a shelter for women, Sautner said.
Quit eating your scabs.
The judge opened the hearing by telling Lohan that probation officers had submitted a report stating she had violated the terms of her release. Don't look shocked, Miss Lohan, because it isn't true, Sautner said, explaining the probation officer was relying on incorrect information. The judge did chide the actress for not providing officials with the phone number where she could be reached.
You know, chiding sort of makes it sound like it was a friendly kind of banter.
It was a very serious tisk.
Chiding is what two guys at the VFW do.
There was a definite wagging of the finger.
A clucking.
Involved.
Yes.
Lohan, 25, had completed one of the four anti-shoplifting classes. They really need to spread that out in four sessions, huh?
I'm actually just going
to
wonder, what do you suppose the second class is all about?
You'd think you'd set up a door and a cash register and a thing, and your object is to go through them in the right order. You get the thing, go through the cash register, and then the door. Oh, no, I did it wrong. Door first. Oh, crap. See you next week.
I wonder if there's a little graduation ceremony at the end of that.
Holly said that Lindsay is having trouble enrolling in court-ordered psychological counseling. Sautner agreed that the actress should not have to enroll in group treatment, but said Lohan must find someone to counsel her within 3 weeks. Lohan cannot afford to pay a psychiatrist who was previously treating her but would find a new program shortly.
I think at this point, the idea that she can't have something because she can't afford it doesn't really wash.
Right.
I think by definition.
Right. That's the end of her.
All right. More of your entertainment news here at Legion of News.
A collector believes he has found an 8mm film of Marilyn Monroe having sex while she was still Norma Jean Baker. A collector is to auction a sex tape which he claims features Marilyn Monroe as a young unknown. Spaniard Mikhail Barca wants at least $500,000 for the grainy 6.5-minute film.
Hold on, let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
Spaniard Mike. Now, is Spaniard Mike like his nickname?
Spaniard Mike.
Or is that
Shifty McGee?
Or is that like Johnny? You know, like Johnny the Wop or something?
Right. He's of the Spanish Barca.
Oh, I see.
Spaniard,
from Spain.
Mikhail Barca.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Just checking.
He claims the black and white footage was shot before 1947, when the aspiring actress was under 21 and still known as Norma Jean Baker, while she was giving everyone around town a baker's dozen.
Does it really say that?
No.
Okay. I would have been alternately disappointed in and really happy with the mainstream press if they had actually phrased it that way.
However, as copies of that version are still circulating on the internet, it seems unlikely the new tape will be considered quite as valuable. Experts are also arguing that the woman in the film is not Monroe. One, Scott Fortner, has an extensive collection of Monroe memorabilia, including a belt that he claims proves she was much more petite than the woman in the footage. He said, That's not Marilyn. The chin is not the same. Lips are not the same. Teeth are not the same. Marilyn was a tiny little thing. And I know that for a fact. I own her clothing.
Just picturing that guy just spending a lot of time, like sitting inside a darkened room, just licking the belt.
Where's my Pop-Tarts?
The thing about this is, like, every, like, 6 months, they claim to find some picture or some photo of her where she's, like, giving a guy what for in a back alley.
Her and Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, well, there was, I have that Jimi Hendrix sex tape at home, which, by the way, I've never even opened. It's just sitting there, and it has, like, on it, like, you know, the vivid seal of quality, right. Which is, and I've never even opened the thing. I think I may have actually got thrown it out in the trash.
There's no vacuum cleaner good enough to get that smarm out of the carpet.
No, and it's like, and so, but it's like they found that thing, I guess it was maybe a year and a half ago. There was supposedly some footage of her and JFK having relations, like on a boat somewhere or whatever. And right. So, you know, and plus, the frustrating thing about this is that all of the Marilyn Monroe, it's not like I really need them to find Marilyn Monroe sex footage at this point. I'm not short on porn. I mean, it's like I've got, whatever else happens in my life, I've got the porn handled. I'm good there. But every time they find a Marilyn Monroe thing, it is exactly like, you know, it comes to you from the same photo lab that finds the thing hovering over Kansas.
Or the people who say that the munchkin in the background is hanging himself if you look real hard.
Exactly.
You know, turn on the Pink Floyd, look at this Marilyn, and close your eyes and put some gauze on your face.
There's three fairies lurking in the background that weren't there when we took the photograph.
Right.
You're listening to Entertainment News here at Cascadia.fm. Here is Mr. Todd Workoven.
San Diego, Robert Rodriguez waited until Comic-Con was to announce that he is planning sequels to Sin City and Machete. He says a script for Sin City 2 is being refined, and he hopes for two sequels to last year's Machete, at least one of which will bring the blade-slinging star into space. Even if we don't get to three, I'm at least making the trailer for the three because it's so good.
Is this for Machete or for Sin City?
It doesn't say.
Presumably for Machete, because that's the one that started as a trailer.
Right. I would put it even before the two. Rodriguez said, "Machete goes into space. Machete goes into space.
Machete
is like Moonraker.
Machete in space would be the best thing ever. That's like that, Freddy versus Jason versus Ramones idea or whatever it was that somebody had the other day.
You've got peanut butter in my improbableness." The 43-year-old filmmaker made the announcements Thursday in front of 6,500 fans at the San Diego Comic-Con convention and celebrated the news at an intimate party at the Hard Rock Hotel across the street. He also discussed his latest film, Spy Kids 4, which is set to release in 4D next month.
And the fourth dimension being?
I don't know.
Smell.
Bent over and taking my money.
No, it's they're going to have like little scratch and sniff strips, the strips that
When the number flashes on screen, you scratch that number and you smell it.
Ooh,
and whatever they're smelling on screen, you smell in the audience. I don't want to smell a movie theater audience.
It smells like children.
There's a sweet smells and bad smells because we have a baby and we have a dog.
All right, that's fantastic. So it's like a Bertie Bott sort of scent strip.
Yes.
All right, that's great. Gerber grapes. That's wonderful. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, by the way, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com, where you can be amused for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. A giveaway. What is the shirt you're wearing?
I got it from Fred Meyer.
It's a DC Comics shirt.
A DC Comics shirt.
I dig that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like what Fred Meyer and Target does. They put out some really cool T-shirts for like 2 weeks, and then they just take them off. They don't sell them anymore for like a year and a half.
And the thing about that is like that will induce me to buy things that I might otherwise be on the fence about.
Right.
It is that because I'm such an easily manipulated American ways that they go, well, you know, here's a thing you kind of don't really want, and it's only available for a week. And
right.
You go, oh, I better.
Well, because then you don't want to be. I didn't buy the same shirt that every other douche bought.
Exactly.
I'm an original at Fred Meyer.
I'm not a guy. I don't dress myself at Walgreens.
Where's
that would be
my club card.
Let's see. We got a few minutes left here. Let's continue with the entertainment news
I have one more news
transition.
One more entertainment news.
All right, here's Todd.
Pee Wee Herman aims to hit the road in a new movie, which I had cleverly titled that article as Pee Wee jerks himself across the country for a new film. Dun 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 dun. Pee Wee Herman hopes to take his act back on the road for a new big screen adventure. Paul Rubens told an audience at Comic-Con Thursday that he was working with Hollywood comedy powerhouse Judd Apatow to produce a new movie. Rubin appears in character as Pee-wee with his bow tie and gray suit. He plays the oddball man-child on the television and the two feature films, including Tim Burton's 1985 comedy Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
It's called Pee-wee Longs for Death.
Yes. He's like 65, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
It's,
I mean, he is.
It's really unsettling.
He is in his 50s. I mean, he is no younger than 50. I'll tell you that right now. I when I was in New York in March, I ended up seeing the Book of Mormon, but there was he was doing that Broadway revival of the Pee-wee Herman show that he originally done in California.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of really positive press about it and whatever, which is fine. I mean, God bless him. God bless Paul Rubens. He got a bit of a raw deal, back with the whole with the wanking and the so forth. And it was like Stacey Keach. We were talking about that yesterday. I mean, I guess you shouldn't be doing piles of blow. But I mean,
perhaps
that's the sort of thing that now I think people would just go, well,
says you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's just my Puritan side speaking. But I mean, just think about all the things that have happened. Think about this alone. How many celebrities have got caught picking up hookers who have penises since they busted Paul Rubens for just sitting there in an adult theater where, by definition, no one was going to be exposed to something they weren't expecting to see anyway.
Right.
Well, I mean, there's a penis like 18 feet high on the screen in front of you. What do you care if there's a tiny, tiny version of that, relatively speaking? I'm sure he's all man. Right. But I mean, right over here to the left. And also, that presumes that you're sitting in a porn theater and the actual pornography playing is so uninteresting to you that you go, well, this massive penis and gigantic set of breasts just isn't holding my attention. I guess I'll just look over here to the left and see what this guy's doing.
So was it an actual law enforcement agent that was sent in there to catch someone?
Yes, it was. Okay. Yes, it was an undercover operation in a Florida porn theater. But so he got a real raw deal there, so I wish the best for him. But by the same token, it's like there is something. I don't know if it's creepy or if it's sad or if it's maybe neither, and that's just me. The idea that he is like 55 and he has just effectively disappeared behind this like red bow tie for the rest of his career.
Right. He was doing a couple like cameo stuff and all that with.
He was in the only real cameo I remember him doing. Well, he was in Mystery Men.
Yeah.
And he was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
He was in something else too, and I can't remember.
And that he was in. Well, he was in Blow, the Ted Demme film. I think he was in Blow, and I think he played like a real scrungy like coke dealer or something. We got like 90 seconds here. Is that the end of entertainment news?
That's the end of entertainment news.
All right, there's your entertainment news for Friday. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program at rickemersonshow.com. Today we'll be joined by Mr. Big Jim Willie. He'll be here with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. Today talking about the work and legacy of Monty Python. We're here with Mr. Todd the Corpse Workoven. Let's do one more. We got like 60 seconds before we wrap it.
Passenger was stupid, comma, drunk. Tampa, Florida, the attorney for cruise passengers said it was stupid for the man to release the ship's anchor at sea last year, but it shouldn't become a federal crime. The attorney for Rick Elhart, 45, told the Tampa Tribune Thursday that the wealthy Californian was drunk at the time and guilty of nothing more than felony stupidity.
Is there just a huge button on the boat where is it like that,
I guess,
that thing on the bus you pull when you need to get off at the Tannisbourne exit?
Drop anchor. He filed a motion in court in Tampa to have the charges dropped.
You know, here's the thing I wonder about. Every time I'm on a train, like on a subway or whatever, and there's that thing where there's just that, it's like in the Bugs Bunny cartoon where there's just a huge red cord you can pull.
Yeah.
And I am so tempted to pull it all the time. And I imagine everybody is. You know, or it's like the break glass. And here's the other thing. Like when I'm on the way back from Vegas, I was sitting in the escape aisle of the airplane, and I was so tempted just to break the glass and pull the red handle on that door. And I know that you can't really open the door when you're aloft anyway.
Right.
But I mean, that's only when you're at cruising altitude.
Right.
Takeoff or landing, you could hella open that door.
Right.
You could completely open that door. And I am tempted to do so every time. And so like if he saw a button that says like press this to drop anchor, I mean if I was even the slightest bit inebriated, I would do that.
Right.
I guess the moral is don't travel with me. All right. On that note, we'll thank you. We're going to do this. We'll bring a curtain down on this exciting installment of Legion of News. Coming to you live from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk today, Mr. Todd the Corpse Workoven in for Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Hagel, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program at rickemersonshow.com. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Have a safe and satisfying weekend. We will see you Monday for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Thank you.